All right, so we're going to get started. My name is David Caulfield. I work in the Azure engineering team in our what we call our customer experience team. So we focus on all aspects of customer experience, from how people onboard to their when we have incidents. We have the group that sends out all the messages and the communications around incidents. We own the support experience across Azure, so that's what I'll focus on a little bit today. In any crisis situation with Azure in the middle of the night when it we handle all those situations. So what I want to talk a little bit about is what we offer from a support perspective and some of the things that you guys, some of the investments we're making in our portals and in our technology to make the support experience better. Since we only have a few folks, what I was hoping to do is if you have questions or comments or want this to go in another direction, we can change it. So just ask whatever questions you might have. So let me start out with at least explaining what we provide from what we call an assisted support experience, so that you guys at least have a grounding in what we offer. So when you look at support and what we sell, there's a level of included support that we provide. So if you call up or submit a ticket through the portal, as part of your subscription, you can submit tickets specific to your billing and subscription issues. For technical support, what we offer is a set of tools, and we'll talk and I'll show you demos today of our health check, and I'll also demo how if you use the health check, you can get free support for technical issues, right? And then we have self-help, diagnostics, and troubleshooting. So I'll take you through some demos of all of those capabilities as well. So that's what you get included with the product. Beyond that, you have the option to purchase some additional levels of support. The first one is our developer support. It's $29 a month, fixed price. It doesn't allow you to submit anything that's what we call SEV-A or high severity incident. It's designed for developers that shouldn't have anything that's critical that their work that they need support for. But it will answer 24/7 break fix support issues. The agreement or the OLA that we provide to customers is that within that business day we will respond back to you, right? Beyond that, our first enterprise level support plan is our standard support offering. It provides you the ability 24/7. You can submit SEV-A tickets. We'll get back with you in a few hours for your highest severity tickets. And it should represent what most, I would say, production uses of Azure would require. We go from there and we start moving up into our more higher end mission critical sort of offers. So the first one that we have is our Pro Direct offer. It's $1,000 a month. Not only does it have 1 hour SLA to respond to you for SEV-A issues, but it also represents, we have what we call a service delivery manager who actually looks over your cases. So if you submit a SEV-A, they're looking over the cases that have come and submitted a SEV-A and make sure that they actually get responded to in the appropriate number of hours and that you're getting the resolution that you would expect. You also have the opportunity to call in, and there's certain amount of training that we provide. There's certain amount of access to events and some advisory capabilities that we provide. Both of these, the standard support and the Pro Direct support, in this last 12 months, we've actually provided this to all of our EA customers as a 12-month offer. So basically, when you come to Azure, you buy an EA, we provide you both standard and Pro Direct support, depending on how much you actually use the platform, how much you're either billing per month or how much you committed to us, you'll get one of these levels of support. And that offer will be in play for the rest of this year, what we call FY17, or until next July, basically, until June. The beyond that, above our ProDirect offer, we have two what I would consider our premier offers. These are generally the offers when customers have want to cover all of their Microsoft products. And they come with what we call a TAM, who's somebody who's actually works with you on a regular basis. Generally, they're not always on site, but a lot of times you at least get to meet them face to face. They're specifically assigned to your account, and they have ownership of driving all the issues, somewhat like the SDM in ProDirect, but much more more time that they commit directly to the customer. A lot of proactive offerings. We have a capability we call the crit set, or if you have a critical situation, we have a whole team of folks that will come on online during those critical situations and help you through those. So these are more, we're starting to get into the high enterprise sort of space. Beyond, even above Premier, we have this thing we call Azure Rapid Response, which is 15-minute response times. They're dedicated not only TAMs, but engineers. So the actual support engineers, you'll have a support engineer set that are assigned to you, and they are onboarding you with architectural designs before you get into the program. So they do quite a bit to make sure that when you get in this program that what you have is both something that can be supported and that we can maintain over the full course of any major incident. So both of those are custom priced, but this is the rapid response is by far our highest end offer that we provide. So these are this is kind of the waterfall of the support offers that we currently have for Azure. And what I'll do is speak a little bit about what we've learned about support working with our customers, in Azure, and especially over the last 18 to 24 months as we've really started to drive and grow in Azure. So there's a couple things that when you look at the expectations customers have of us when we own this, when we run the cloud, it's totally different than what we had in our traditional on-prem business. So we have done a lot of work to make sure we can respond to those expectations, particularly what self-help they're expecting us to have, how they expect a product to have that. I'm going to show you some demos of some in product documentation and self-help that we're providing now. And then our engagement in our community and our social connections are, there's high expectations there. I don't know if you guys had a chance to monitor or actually send a tweet out to our Azure support Twitter handle. They actually respond with answers to questions. And if you have an incident, we've actually raised Azure incidents specifically from tweets to that handle. So we also have a strong engagement in community. And one of the things that we've done is the communities we in engineering proper have taken over the maintenance of our community. So like if you go to MSDN or Stack Overflow, much of the work to kind of answer those questions have been taken directly into our engineering teams to go and do. From an end-to-end troubleshooting perspective, our customers are expecting us to both identify issues that are service-related and to be able to tell them which ones are service-related and which ones are issues that are within their, what I consider, solution-specific area, like in their VM, some issues in that respect. So we've had a significant new investments we've made in that space, and I'll show you guys some of those in a minute. And then when we are in a solution-specific place, they want us to have provide a robust set of debug and diagnosis tools. So we've been working on those as well. From an assisted supports perspective, that's when you actually get on the phone or submit a ticket. Customers want a minimal amount of effort. And so one of the things that we've spent a lot of energy over the last 6 months is really enabling when you submit a ticket through our Azure portal, it comes wrapped with a ton of context about your problem. So what subscription you're working on, what resource you're working on, we've already done pulled logs in as many places as we can. So that when the support engineer gets your ticket, they actually know what's going on, right? And that's why we generally just want our customers to submit their ticket through our Azure portal. Because if you come through other ways, whether that be on the phone or if you have Premier Support, if you have your TAM submit the ticket, we don't get any of that context. And what we've learned is that for those other venues which you submit your ticket, it takes us twice as long to solve them, right? And so we definitely want customers to submit their tickets through the portal. And the work we've done to enable the capture of that context is, has really paid off for our customers. You know, they want a quick solution, and then they want deep expertise. One of the things we've done from our support, assisted support space, is we've reconfigured all of our, what we call our queues, or how we organize the people behind them into what we call pods. And these pods are much more, I would say, scenario-based, based on the problems that customers have. And what we found is there's a lot less hopping around that we get than we've had in the past, and much deeper expertise when they get to that problem, right? So those are some of the expectations that customers had. What I've alluded to here is some of the improvements that we've made. We've made specific investments around content. So one of the things we've done is the engineering teams now get measured on the percentage of the content that of their problems, their support problems, that are actually covered by self-help content. And so we, in fact, one of the things I'll do tomorrow, I fly back tonight to have a meeting with our senior executives to kind of go through all the metrics, including that one around support. And so one of the things that all of the engineering teams are held to is how much content can they cover without having to submit a support case, right? And the way that we expose that is through what we call the troubleshooting blade, which I will do a little demo of in a minute. There's a screenshot here. And then in this, and so to date, we have 19 of our services, and we're growing that, who have their content in this troubleshooting, what we call this troubleshooting blade. So we've made a lot of progress in that. From a community perspective, I already mentioned that we are now taking these directly in engineering. So engineering directly owns the communities and drives both MSDN, Stack Overflow, and server fault, all three of them. If there's issues, we try to let the community answer them first because we want to build the community. But at the end of the day, we will respond, and engineering's in ownership of all of those communities, which is something we haven't always traditionally done. We've had our support organization run that, and we've moved it into engineering to try to get better and more robust answers to those questions. So let me take you through a quick little demo of that. So if you're inside of Azure portal, and let's just say I'm going to pick some virtual machines. We both obviously have Linux and Windows servers. So when you bring this up, if you're a user, the first thing you'll notice is we have a couple things. One is this diagnosis and troubleshooting area. And if you click into here, depending on what kind of VM you have, what you're doing, you're going to get a different set of options. So the first thing you're going to see at the very top is that we have this thing called resource health. And I'm going to take you through that and actually the next slide. But this tells you whether or not we're up or not. From there, there's a set of common problems. So I can't connect to my VM might be a common problem that customers have. And so what we've done is tried to basically simplify this as much as possible to give you the steps you need to take. And so what you'll notice is that all the problems that we've outlined are clearly our biggest call volume drivers, right? So if it's got a big call volume driver, we've got it up here. And what we're trying to do is give you, hey, what's the console, like for example, what's the first thing you should do? We should look at the console screenshot or logs. And because this is a Linux VM, I'm going to see a series of, I'm going to see the log. I'll go through a version in Windows in a minute, and you'll see a screenshot of the boot log. But for each of these things, we've gone through, and based on what kind of VM, what kind of problem you have, we've done a lot of work to make it really context aware of what you're doing and help you debug these problems. So let me switch back before I'll do the next part of this demo. So the other thing we've worked on is really helping end-to-end troubleshoot. So from here, we have resource health, which is a capability that we provide that really gives you an indication of whether or not the service is healthy from our perspective, right? You can think of this as a health check. Is the service healthy? And then we've also done a lot of work around troubleshooting tools, right? So, and I'm gonna show you one. So let me give you a quick demo of that. So going back to where we were, just if I'm on my virtual machines again, we'll go through a Windows one this time. There's a couple things you can see. So we can go back to the diagnostic tab. And just to show you, there's resource health up here. Just to give you a sense, I can also, you can see that there's a screenshot view. I didn't show you that last time, but I'll show it to you here, where you can see this is the screenshot. So if there were some boot issues, you'd be seeing them here. There's not, I looked over resource health, I want more information. I click on it, and what I can see is, hey, it's available. But one of the things that we've recently added, and just in the last couple of weeks, is ability to actually go back and look historically at your health of your VM. Because one of the questions that customers frequently have is like, great, I see my VM's up now, but something happened, you know, this morning or yesterday or something, and were you down or was there something wrong with my service? What was going on, right? So what we've done is we've gone back for 14 days, basically, and giving you a view of what's happened here. So in this time, I've had an unknown state on 9:25, around almost 5 o'clock, and then we had unavailability on 9:23, right? So now I got a sense, I can kind of look at maybe the alerts I got and say, so they were down. And our hope is this is also avoiding support calls for people calling us and asking what's going on and so forth. They can historically get a look at it, right? So, but in either one of these cases, let's say that in this case, I'm up, it says I'm up, I'm happy, everything's good. One of the things that you can do is, if you contact support here, one of the things that we've enabled is that even if you don't have a support plan right here, even if you haven't bought technical support, you can submit a support case. Right, and so what our assumption is that, A, if you have one, we've already marked it Sev A, and we want that one submitted right away. If you don't have one, but you feel like it's an experience you believe is caused by Azure, is how we frame it, right? We don't want you to have a dead end. We don't want you to feel like you don't have anywhere to go. If you don't have you have to buy either depending on what. It's a support plan. You don't have to buy an expensive support plan just to report an issue about Azure, right? We want to give you a way to do that. So this is how we're enabling you to do that. So if you go through the health check, over the full course of time, we'll probably make it more restrictive of who we can do it. But right now, anybody who goes through this workflow to submit a support case will take the support case without actually having a support plan. Now, that doesn't mean we don't think you should have support plans. There's a lot of cases where the kind of support you need, this is not a high severity sort of case you're going to get. There's still a good reason to have a support plan in a lot of our cases. But what we have gotten is some feedback that customers felt like there was no place to go, so we wanted to make sure there was a place to go, right? And so let me go back to the redeploy tool. So the other thing that we've been spending a lot of energy and time on is that various tools and capabilities. So right here in this set of lists, I have the option, if I want to redeploy my instance. Before, you had to kind of go through a lot of steps to do this. What we've done is completely automated it. So you just push redeploy, and it will put you on a different cluster, and then in a lot of cases that's a way to solve some problems for customers. So we've completely automated it. This is just one example of a lot of different tools we're creating. We have a SQL Index Advisor is another example, but all of these things we have a big focus on what we call supportability, which is this part of, and it's one of our top priorities. So if you look at our security and availability are obviously up there, and what we call supportability is right in there. So when we plan our our semesters, we call them. Supportability is one of our P0s. So and one of my coworkers is IMing me. With that, I think I'm almost out of time. These are pretty short. So we encourage you to get a support plan. Look at Resource Health first if you have any issues. And again, you can get a free support case if you need it. Leverage our diagnostic and troubleshooting blade to kind of get the major set of issues dealt with. And then use Twitter and at Azure Support. If you have any questions, issues, even if you do have a support case that's not making progress, they'll deal with any of those issues. So if you can't find some content that you need, anything, and we'll help you guys right there with that. So with that, I'll conclude. If you have questions, I'd gladly take them. I appreciate you guys' time. Thank you.